Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, our God reigns. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you that are tuning in today, those that be calling in, those that will be on the Internet listening in, and for those that will listen in later, we thank God for you. We're going to continue our discussion on justification, and then we might touch on some other things as well, because if we, you know, we might just kind of answer some questions and things today about various things. But we thank God for just everyone that's on the line right now. I thank God for each and every one of you, and we thank God for this broadcast, because we pray that the Lord will continue to bless it and that the Lord will continue to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. And so I'm thankful for just this day, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to go right into our discussion. I'm waiting for our other people, teachers to come on the line. If not, we're going to go on without them, and we're going to continue on. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you that you are our light and our salvation, O God. I thank you that you are our shepherd and that we shall not want. I thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy, Father. I thank you, Lord, for that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God, hallelujah, that when it is planted, Lord, we pray that it will fall on good ground today, Lord Jesus, and that nothing will come and choke it out, Lord, but it will fall and it will accomplish the thing that it is set out to do. We thank you, God, just for being our creator and for being our savior and all the things that you are to us. We thank you because we could not make it if it wasn't for you. So, Lord, I thank you for your mercy, Lord, and your grace. Lord, we ask you just to bless us today as we continue on in this discussion of foundational teaching, oh God, so that somebody will be blessed that is saved, that needs to be saved, or that is just a refresher for those that are saved to just to ensure them of who they are in thee, oh God. So we thank you for this today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah.
God bless you. Yes. Thank you so much for being on the line, Elder Dotson. I think I heard Sister Dotson on the line. And if someone else on the line, could you identify me? Could you introduce yourself as well?
Terry Field.
Hi, Minister Terry. I thank God for you being on the line as well. We thank God for each and every one. And so we were, Elder Poston and Elder and Minister Henry Creighton were supposed to be on the line, but they haven't come on yet, and so we're going to continue on. We had a wonderful discussion from Elder Dotson, a teaching from Elder Dotson last week about justification, and as far as I was concerned, we could have been through then because it was such an awesome, he did such an awesome job of going through what justification is and just ensuring us of who we are in Christ and how Christ, how God felt about us as far as justifying us and making us, you know, that he gave us a right for righteousness and he gave us the things he gave us that are concerning those things. And so I just want to just kind of reiterate, you know, what justification is. Justification is a legal act originating in the loving will of God, and on the basis of which the believer is pardoned and declared righteous in God's sight. So no man is saved by works of righteousness, as Titus 3 and 5. Justification is the means of bringing man back into the right relationship with God. Justification is done by God and God alone. That's Romans 4 and 5. If we were to read that, that is what that would tell us. And then the nature of justification is our standing our position with God, that we are no longer seen as enemies or sinners, and that's 2 Corinthians 5:17, but our standing is our relationship that we now have with God. It says we are justified, declared righteous at the moment of our salvation. That's awesome right there. We're just getting saved. We're just giving our life to the Lord, and he justifies us that quick. He brings us into a place of justification. Justification does not make us righteous, but rather pronounces us righteous.
Yes.
Our righteousness comes from placing our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice covers our sin, allowing God to see us as perfect and unblemished. Because as believers, we are in Christ. God sees Christ's own righteousness when he looks at us. So he's not even looking at what we are, but he's looking at what Christ is because of Christ's blood and what he did for us on Calvary. God looks at us through Christ. And so because of Christ, we're looked at as righteous in God's sight. So God sees Christ's own righteousness when he looks at us, and this meets God's demand for perfection. Thus, he declares us righteous. He justifies us. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood, and he did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand, and unpunished, he did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time. So as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So if we have the faith in Jesus and we've given our life over to him for salvation, then we are justified by Christ through God. So when God sees us, he sees the justification. He sees what Christ did for us, which justifies us and declares us righteous. It doesn't make us righteous, but it declares us righteous in God's sight. So does anybody have any comments concerning that?
I would like to say justification is so rich. It's such a rich topic to talk about. It's such a rich topic to study, because it takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis, where the Lord said we were to where he said that we were to have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it brings us in a place that our father Adam was in, and it structures us to that type of person that he was. He was clean.
Yeah.
There was nothing about Adam that was dirty or defiled. He was clean. And really, to think about it, to be in God's presence, to be with him, there's something you have to do. And justification helps you do it. Get clean. And then come before him lovingly and knowing that he has cleaned you. It's such a lovely presence to be in. I mean,
yes.
The Bible says in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand forevermore, you know. Yeah. Right, so it's a loving place to be, and
yeah.
We have to realize that's what he has for us when we are justified. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I see Elder Poston on the line. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you have anything ready for us. I know. Minister Henry, and I thank y'all, Doctor, for that, because if we really think about it, and I just want to go there because I thought about this while you were talking. If we really think about it, Christ made salvation so, I mean, it's really easy. He did all the work. All we have to do is accept him and then begin to live as God wants us to live. If we could just get to that, and it seems like we make it so hard for ourselves, I think, because we're so busy trying to do things ourselves. You know, I hear people all the time, well, you know, the Lord knows that I like this this way, or I like this this way, I want to do this this way. But if we would just get the concept that it's not about what we want, it is what God's purpose is for our life, and it's about what he wants, and if what he wants and what we want align itself, then we're in a good place. But when we try to force what we want on what he has for us, I think that's when we begin to have the struggles in our life, because we're trying to do one thing and God wants us something else out of. We was created, we are his workmanship. He's not our workmanship.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And I think sometimes we want to maneuver God and tell him how we want it versus us living how he wants us to live. And I know that's easier said than done, because it sounds like an easy task, but it's not, because he did give us free will.
Yes, he did.
But he's doing, when we think about what he has done for in justification alone, and how he declared, because of what Christ did for us, when we accept Christ as our Savior, God sees us not guilty.
That's right.
Through Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
So he's done so much for us that we just have to get in the right path with him, and if we begin to walk that out, then we could. I think we would have. It would be so much. Our lives would be in such a better. I mean, so much more peace. I believe that's what I'm trying to get to. Anybody have
You're
any
right.
comments on that?
You're right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Only thing I think I want to add is, when I was listening to the other doctrine, when you refer back to Genesis and even what we were discussing last week and the week before on justification and how we know that it's a legal act. But I just went back to the Old Testament when we're talking about the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt, and they had already, God had already took Moses through the building of the tabernacle and preparing all the parts, and he selected for each part and what each of those items meant. And then even looking at all the offerings in Leviticus, that the burnt offering, the meat offering, peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering, all of these things that God had instituted for them to do because of sin. And really get into studying what each of them were for and what particular animal had to be sacrificed for each offering. If blood was required, that it all leads to the final work of what Jesus did, doing away with all of those animal sacrifices so that we are justified in the God that we based on what Christ did and what he offered to us by offering his son Christ, then we no longer have to do all of those things to be justified. But it's, like you said, by faith. And once we receive Christ, the wonderful thing about it is that it's not labor intensive as it was in Leviticus.
Amen.
Yes. You're exactly right, because during that time we had so many rules. There were so many rules that they had to follow exactly. They couldn't mess it up.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they couldn't just say, okay, I'm gonna do it this way. That's what Cain did.
And exactly. You know what you just said, they had to do it right. And the beauty in that is Jesus did it right.
Exactly.
So you know what I'm saying? So
yes.
He did it perfectly for us that we are justified.
Yeah. That makes such a difference if we really think about it. Just what we have to go through versus what they had to do. All we have to do is accept Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's done all the work. For them, they had to wait for the priest to go into the holies of holies and for that day of atonement. They had to wait, and then if the priest wasn't right, That was a situation.
Right. Exactly. Right. And they had
no
to do it.
They knew something went wrong.
Yes, and they had to do it every year.
Every year. We ain't had to do one, not one year we've been born. Because
my
of Christ,
God.
Because of his sacrifice.
That's right.
If we really think about what he's done for us, and we just think about it from that perspective, we don't have to go get no, you know, because they had to have them without blemish. I mean, this is something they had to do, so they had to go get, animal without blemish. They had to make sure that was, you know,
right.
And so it was so much that went into that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you said, repeatedly.
And God was
over.
Very specific in his detail. Even with the building of the tabernacle, it was very specific.
Yes, it was.
And if they'd done the wrong thing, just like Nadab was Nadab and Abihu, where they went in with that strange fire,
right,
it was over.
Yes. My God.
But his love for us. Said, no, I can't even let them go this way. I'm going to have to do something different. So his love for us, he said, I'm going to have to send my son. I'm going to have to come down in sinful flesh and take care of this because I can't even trust them to do the right thing with the instructions I've given them. They messing that up.
Yeah, but, you know, God also says and told Moses that when he was picking the people, he said that God told Moses that he was going to give them the spirit of wisdom to complete their task. So whichever, all the people that were gathered, the fine linen, the blue and the purple and the scarlet, those people that had a heart to come and assist Moses with building the tabernacle, God gave them a spirit of wisdom and how to carry out his instructions.
So even that he prepared. So thank the Lord. Ain't that a blessing? I mean, just look at, well, listen to what that said. He gave them the spirit of wisdom to do the task.
Right.
He gave it to them.
So what if we would ask God before we move?
What?
Now.
If he was giving them the spirit of wisdom to complete the task back then, how much more would he do for us today? If we ask him, Lord, before we do anything, if we really do like Proverbs 3:5-7 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own
understanding,
but in all thy ways.
All thy ways.
Acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really, in all our ways, acknowledge him?
Mm.
We think we do sometimes.
And you know what else? I mean, when you talk about justification, because in the notes, it states that, you know, justification is a legal act. And then we need to take into consideration the cost of sin and what it costs in order to obtain that justification. So God had sacrificing the animals, something of the best that they had to help them learn that their sin cost something, and the animal had to be without spot or blemish. It cost them something.
Yes.
And then the sacrifice, you know, him, the ultimate cost of giving his only begotten son because of our sin. Do we realize the cost of our sin? What he paid?
Right.
Yeah.
For the blood to be justified. To be justified?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you really get into me, I don't understand. You know, I have to sit back and say, you know, Lord, of course, help me to repent again. And it's humbling.
Yes, it is. I was just thinking that same thing, Elder. It's a humbling thing when you think about it, that he thinks enough of us to justify us after all we've done and what we're still doing.
What we're still doing.
My God.
And just like in the notes, it talks about the blood that justified, and it talks about how we were talking about how that they had to get the animals and they had to be without blemish, and you know they made animal sacrifices to God. He said we do see the prominent essential. I'm reading these notes. The blood was in justifying mankind, causing Israel to be in the right standing with God. When in the last of the 10 plagues came upon Egyptians in the book of Exodus, when the death angel came by, what did God tell them to do? He said, strike the blood. He said, first they had to get the animal, and then they struck the doorpost with the blood. And so because of that blood, the death angel passed over them.
Right.
Because of the blood of Christ that is on our doorpost of our heart.
Yeah.
What is passing over us?
My God.
It's something.
Isn't that something?
I mean, and I haven't even really gotten even deeper into it, but I was just studying and reading about, you know, have you noticed how we keep going to the blood?
Yes.
But, you know, he was got, like you said earlier, God was so specific with what they had to do in order to eradicate their sin, even to the point of, you know, you brought it to the priest, you put your hand on the animal's head, they ringed his neck, you took the fat from the kidney from specific areas of the body, and the blood was sprinkled on the altar. There was a specific fashion for that that fascinated me. But he went through for our case.
So the blood of Christ. I was thinking about when we were talking about the blood. I even thought about the situation that I have been going through with my leg and things like that, and how that the physical therapist at the wound care clinic told me we have to make it bleed for it to heal.
Mm. Isn't that something?
Isn't that something? How the Lord just orchestrates even the blood within our own self. How what it has to do. So it's the blood of Christ that, you know what I'm saying? It's the blood of Jesus that has healed the world from sin.
Yes.
Right.
That blood had to flow.
Mm. Yeah, that's what it says in Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood,
there's
no remission of sins.
No remission of sins.
None.
Mr. Henry, you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. I'm listening.
He put together our outline today about the blood. It is the blood that justifies. And so I didn't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about that today, or you want us just to keep on going through it with everybody. How do you want to do it?
Yes, keep going, keep going.
He said keep going.
I think it's doing a good job, yeah. I'm listening myself.
Yeah.
Okay. So here, he got on here, a clear understanding of the blood. I think this is... I'm not sure. This is Leviticus, and this is out of the ESV version. It says, if anyone of the house of Israel or of the stranger who sojourns among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and
right,
I have given it for you on the altar to make an atonement of your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the life. Therefore, I have said to the people of Israel, no person among you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger who sojourns among you eat blood. Leviticus 17:10-12 says, as much as it was important for Israel to obey the law as given to Moses, to be considered justified, righteous, the death blood of an animal was key. Why? It dealt with the root problem, sin. Yes, they had to read. They had to read and obey the law, but the total exercising of the law was not complete without atonement.
Wow.
And that's something.
That's something.
Then
it says, Jesus has justified the world, mankind, by his blood. It says, he shall, this is 11th chapter, this is 11, I think it's Isaiah 53 and 11, says, he shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others. Shall my uncompromising righteous one, my servant, justify many and make many righteous, upright and in right standing with God? For he shall bear their iniquity and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord. That's Isaiah 53 and 11. That's the Amplified version of that. This is the prophecy of Jesus justifying mankind through his death, and the shedding of his blood on the cross is echoed in the four Gospels of the Epistles for our learning, edification, and spiritual growth. In light of what Christ did for us on the cross, the believers must always exercise or walk in grace, God's favor and blessing of God, not allowing anything to hinder us from exercising our right, seeing that we are justified in the expression ourselves thereby.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I just, you know, when our partner just read, you know, his name is Mr. Henry, and we were talking when the elder was teaching on the last week about our self-esteem and who we are in God. And y'all talked about how, you know, all of the specificity concerning the blood, how everything was done, and the elder was talking about the pureness, because they had to be all blemished.
Right.
And, you know, and now when we put that, you know, connected with Christ, who was all of that and more, and did that for us, we got to grab hold of that. Because when we think about blood, we know that something has to die.
Yes.
There was a price that was paid for us, and God and God's desire is for us to walk in freedom, in this freedom, because of the blood of Jesus. And it's very important for us to do that, because else then he died in vain. He paid this price for us so that we can be free. And we hope, even as we teach this, that even believers, as much as the world will levy charges against us, we believers should, we should be keen on this. If Jesus did this for us, then we have to allow our brothers and our sisters to live free, you know, free of guilt, without necessarily condemning them or judging them harshly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
Just frustrating them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that we cannot confront them concerning their sin. We can do that, but we got to do it in love. You know what I mean?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
It's all done in love.
Yes.
Amen.
So then I have some questions here. It says, what is meant by our standing before God?
Standing before God.
Mm-hmm. What is meant by our stand before God? I guess what I would think is that what it means is us standing before God and asking God, you know, asking God into our, for Christ to be in for and our and become part of, I mean, for us to be saved, and us standing before Him and getting in and asking Him, you know, asking Him to come into our life.
Well, that's
our question. This is Minister Henry. Is that person asking the question positionally or what? I mean, because there's one standing where we stand and act of forgiveness, and there's we're standing where we are
as
children of God.
As it relates to salvation, yes.
As it relates to salvation. As it relates to salvation, we're standing before God, presenting ourselves.
Yes.
Just like we are, whatever you've done, if you want to repent of it, this is to stand before God as it stands. if we put it in these words, as it stands right now, how do you stand before God? What is your position?
Yes.
Do you have a relationship? Are you without a relationship with God? Are you free from sin? Or are you in sin right now?
Yes.
Because what it will take is you repenting, coming out of sin, recognizing who God is, and He's there to love you and forgive you. But you have to recognize where you're standing.
Yes.
With Him.
Because
I believe, it's not where you stand with me.
Right.
It's where you stand with God.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I think that explains that really well. Then my next question says, excuse me, my voice is going, who is it that justifies us? And, of course, we know this is Christ, but that was the question. So we've been talking about that throughout this conversation, to this teaching today. Who justifies us? We're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is who justifies us. And because of His work on the cross and His blood, shedding of blood, He put us in, and then us accepting Him as our Savior put us in a justified position.
Right.
Not because of who we are, but because of who we are.
That's right.
Yes.
But the scripture for that is Romans 8 and 33 that I gave last Sunday. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's a question. It is God that justifies. Before you can charge me, you've got to understand that it's God that justifies. You're not in a position to judge. He's God Almighty.
And another thing, Ella, even with that, like we talked about earlier with Adam and Eve, when it comes to justification, like Ella said, only God. Because we saw even when Adam and Eve felt the shame of the nakedness and tried to cover themselves. When did God knew what was appropriate to cover them?
Yeah.
Right. When the Bible says He covered them with skins.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know now that something had to die for them to be covered. So there is no way we can do it ourselves. And even to think this further, there was something that David said to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2 when he was about to die. The Bible said, he said, when David was close to death, he told Solomon, his son, I am about to die. Be strong and become a man. Do the job of the Lord your God has assigned you by following His instructions and obeying His rules, commandments, regulations, and laws as written in the law of Moses. David was very specific in pointing to Solomon in the right direction. So he pointed him to the law of God. If you're going to show yourself as a man, that is what you do. That is what you look to. That's the only thing that's going to justify your action, the word of God.
That is
so
it.
So the only thing that justifies us, the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God has pointed. So in a time in which we live, I understand I'm very respectful of other religions and people. But as Christians, what justifies us is the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm respectful to other people, but what justifies us is the blood of Jesus.
It's the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. Nothing else. We respect other people in the time where everybody trying to get along. We must stand by the blood of Jesus. Nothing else justifies us.
Yeah.
So we need to understand, like you just said, it's Jesus' blood, no other blood, but he.
No other blood.
Mm-mm. Because every other blood is contaminated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His
every
blood
other.
Is pure.
Yeah.
Every other. As far
That's
as salvation.
Why he had to come down himself, because wasn't a man on earth that could do it.
No. No.
Yeah. Not Buddha. Not Confucius.
None of them. None of them.
None of
them. The blood of Jesus.
Just the blood of Jesus. That's it. Now the next question is, if salvation is not by works, then how do we get saved?
By faith.
There you go.
By faith. By faith. That's it.
By faith.
It's us having faith in Christ, in God, that we need, first of all, that we need to be saved. And that it's only him that can do it.
That's right.
Right. And with some of that, I think it's important for people to understand when we say it's not by work, there's nothing you can do to earn it. And sometimes I think people get confused about morality versus salvation. You can be morally good and unsaved.
Yeah.
Mm, there you go.
So it's by having faith in what Jesus did on the cross to save. Because of your salvation, it could lead you into doing moral things to help your brother, your sister, you see what I'm saying? But you can do those actions and not believe in what Jesus did, so you just moral and unsaved.
Right.
That's it. And
well,
there's a problem. There's a
Ephesians 2:8. Go ahead.
You said a scripture again. Let's say it again.
I was saying Ephesians 2:8. It says, by grace you have been saved
there you go.
Through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Right. That's the answer right there. Because if it could be done by works, we wouldn't have needed Jesus Christ at all.
Exactly.
Now after you become saved, now you have to work. You cannot work for salvation, but you can work in salvation.
In, yes.
In, that's it. That's the key point, in salvation. And then we're doing what? The will of God. That's what we're doing at that time.
Yeah.
You're being obedient to the word of God, and you're fulfilling the words of God.
Yes. Yes.
That's what your faith with your works.
That's putting works. It says faith without works is being dead alone. So you put faith with your work. And when he says it, when he talks about that, it's just us having faith in things, and then we're putting works with it because we have the faith, faith in God. So those are things that's talking about. But it's surely not because of our own work. I know there was a song years ago, and I cannot remember the name of this song, but I know one of the verses says, I'm so glad man didn't make sunshine because he wouldn't let it shine on me. Or I'm so glad the man didn't make rain because he wouldn't let it rain on me. And I can't really think of the name of that song or even the chorus of it, but I just think about that song sometimes because if it was dependent upon man for us to be saved, we would not get saved. They wouldn't even offer it to
us. Mm-mm. No.
Because of their own self, because man's selfish, people's selfish desires, they wouldn't want you to have it.
No.
So we thank God that he did it himself.
And they certainly wouldn't give it to you for free.
Thank you.
No. They put a price on it.
They would put a price on it.
If you make that matter, take it back.
Yeah. He didn't put it in the hands of man, but he put it
in
the
hands. Amen. We saw that too many times in the book of Acts when the disciples presented themselves and people that were on the outside that were soothsayers or whatever, they said, can we purchase this?
Yep. They said, no.
No.
Can't buy it.
Can't buy it.
Nope.
Thank the Lord.
So that's the
Amen.
About it. That's the wonderful thing about God. He didn't leave it to anybody else to do. He decided, I'm going to do it myself. And he decided way back in the beginning when he said, I'll put enmity between your seed and their seed, and your seed will bruise his head, and my seed bruises heel. He knew then that he had to redeem us back because he said we couldn't do it ourselves. And even
that's
when
right.
you think about him, in the times of Noah, him destroying all mankind upon the earth because of the wickedness of man.
Amen.
And so, so we know that it is because of Christ that we are able to even sit here today and even talk about this particular topic and these subjects and be able to answer these questions. It has nothing to do with who we are, but everything to do with who he is. So
everything.
Everything.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And then what about this
question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to, agree with you in saying that there's no justification without the blood.
Yes.
I like what the elder had said before when he was talking about in all the religions, we're to love them, you know. But the thing that sets us apart is the blood.
Yes.
We've drawn a line in the sand with the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy cannot cross it.
Can't cross it. And I think, he can't cross it because of that. And he knows that he can't, so that's why he tries to whisper things in the minds of people to try to get them to turn away from God. But if they really think about it, they really knew who God was to them and all the things that he did for them, things would be different. It is important that the word of God be teached, be preached, that people will know who their God is and who they're serving and who they are in him. It's so important. And so that's why, sometimes we think things are a small matter, but they're really not. None of he always tells us, despise not the days of small beginnings. Because whatever effort you make to plant a seed, plant the word in somebody, that's a blessing. Because if you're not the waterer, somebody else will come along and water. And, of course, God is always the one that will give the increase.
That's it. Yeah.
The next thing, if anybody else in on the line has anything to say, just jump on in there anytime. Think about an area in your life that you still experience guilt. We might have been saved for some time, but is there still areas in our life that we may even still experience guilt that we still? I think for this question right here, and this is my take on it, but y'all can respond how you're hearing it, and I'll read it one more time before I talk. It says, think about an area in your life that you still experience guilt. I think when it comes to this, for me, it's just that, we have to always stay before God to make sure that we are in right standing with him. And so we check ourselves. Well, Paul said it best. He said we die daily. So it's something that we're shedding off every day, that we're steady that's how we're getting closer to the Lord, because we're allowing him, we're laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And so we're continuing in our daily walk with the Lord is to get before God and just ask him to change this or to do this or help us get in alignment with him or whatever that is. And so if we're still experiencing some area of guilt, like I was even thinking about today, I've seen several people, and and this is even for my own personal testimony, that, you know, I feel like, I said, Lord, why is it that I can't get victory in this situation? And I'm thinking about, when I'm talking about that, I'm thinking about my the struggle with weight loss and just staying at, you know, I get to a place, why can't I stay there? You know, why do I keep going up and down, up and down, up and down? And so I'm really asking the Lord, you know, to show me what it is that is causing that motion, that back and forth motion, and what it is, because I really want God to, because evidently I can't do it and stay there by myself. So I need God to help me or to come in that situation that is causing it, because there's an underlying situation. There's something that's under there that still I'm dealing with that I need God to heal. So I think about those things and those things that may have, something may have hurt us or something may be causing these different things. Because I tell myself, I don't like food that much. It ain't that wonderful. It really ain't. You keep going up and down, buying this size, buying this. It's not that wonderful. And so evidently there's something else that is causing that upward and down motion on a continuous basis. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know if it's a thorn in my flesh that you done assigned or what. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm asking God to show me what that is. So the, and for him to begin to root it out, heal it, whatever needs to take place. I know sometimes it's a little comical when I be talking about stuff. But anyway, that's my thing, and that's what I'm asking God for. So those are the things where I think I still experience some areas of maybe a weakness, and that's what I'll say.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make a comment. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, this is Ella Russell. I'm a little late coming in. My phone was kind of not working right, but I'm going back to when we're speaking about all religions, and even Bishop said today that, you know, we have to love everybody.
Yes, we do.
And be able to stand, you know, and not have fear, you know, because we're covered in the blood of Jesus and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But I had an incident. I work in at the hospital as a nurse, and I have my room, and I kind of use it as a platform for ministry when the Lord leads me only.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a one of my patients came in, and I have crosses that my nephew, who's a bishop in Oklahoma, and his mother, they pray over these, and they send them to me. And when the Lord lead me, I'll give one out. And I've had such a positive feedback in this. And this day, I offered one to this lady. She said, no, I don't want that. So I said, all right, that's fine. Then she stopped for a moment. She said, well, if you take this, I'll take that. And she was Jehovah's Witness, right?
Oh,
I said, I'll take that. You don't have to take the cross. I'll be glad to take that.
Okay.
So, you know, I was letting her know there's no fear in me towards your religion, but it seemed like it's a fear toward mine.
Right.
But I feel like it was a testimony for me to even say, well, I'll take yours. You don't have to take mine. I don't want to give you something that you don't want. You know.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, things like that do happen.
Yeah. But you let her know I'm not afraid of what you're paying now. Because it doesn't
happen. Right, right.
Right. I'm strong enough to take it and not be confused by it.
Right. And you know, when she left, she grabbed me and hugged me. I said, well, praise the Lord.
But the Bible tells us that though he that winneth souls is wise. That would be an exercise.
Yeah. That they are. You just have to really be in tune with the Lord, you know, as you are able to witness people.
Elder Bryce.
Yes.
just a little, I want to share a little something along those same lines that Elder Russell was talking about, because I was in a situation where I had somebody that I worked with from New Orleans. And they knew what I believed, knew I was Christian, loved the Lord. And they went home, I went to Mardi Gras, and brought me some little king cake bag and a little figurine. And they brought me a little voodoo bag.
Mm.
And so the interesting thing about it was, kind of like what she's saying, I had given this person a ride home when they gave me these gifts, and at the time when they handed it to me, I just looked at it. And so then I didn't know what to say to them. I didn't want to refuse it and offend them, but I went on and took it. But and then when I got my car, when I hit 635, that voodoo down hit 635.
Excuse me.
Out my window. And the interesting thing about it is later the conversation came up, and it was almost like they knew that that was an inappropriate gift to give me, but they did it anyway. And they eventually asked me about it, and I said, oh, I got rid of that. They said, you did? I said, yeah. They said, I figured you would. I said, don't bring me nothing like that. I don't do it then. Don't do me like that. So it also brings to mind about what the Lord told them when they go in to possess the land, not to take on those strange pots.
Yeah.
Those little figurines, and that's kind of why when I got that, I was like, you out of here.
Yeah.
Amen.
That was funny, but it's so true. And that's why I'm very careful about things I bring in my house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there's a... This off the topic probably a little bit, but I would just share it. When I was a kid, there was this guy had a necklace on, and it took me a while to remember that. You know, as I was thinking about spiritual warfare, because we used to wear these necklaces to look good. Older guy came to our house, and I was like, "Hey, Abraham," his name was Abraham. I said, Can I wear that?" He said, "Yeah, kid, have it." And I wore that necklace. But within a few hours, I got very sick. I couldn't turn my neck. I mean, seriously sick. And I went and lied down. I was still sick. I just had this headache. My neck was hurting. I had a headache. And when I woke up, he came. He said, "Hey, kid, give me my necklace back." I gave it back to him. In a matter of minutes, it felt like something just left me. I'm telling you, literally lifted off of me. My neck was, I could twist and turn. And when I got older, I thought about it. I said, you know what? Someone's connected to that necklace.
Yes.
But we thank God for the blood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because when I was ignorant and didn't know, God was covering me.
Yes.
So these things can be very serious and powerful.
Yes.
Thank you for that. That's a blessing, but you're right. That's why we have to be so careful. And thank God for the blood that covers us when we don't even know.
When we don't even know.
The next question is, make an effort to express thanks to God by declaring you are not guilty in that area. So I think from that I'm thinking that, you know, we have to just begin to confess that we have been delivered. We have to be careful of our confession, but we have to confess our deliverance.
Yes, you do. Stand on there. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You have to stand on that verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. and then say the rest, that walk not after the flesh, but in the spirit.
Amen.
Take that to a spiritual knowledge. Take that to a spiritual understanding, and the guilt will flee.
Yes.
Because that's where we're made free.
The Bible said the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. So even sometimes when you haven't done anything wrong, the enemy will accuse you. And you will use your past to accuse you. And God is not, one thing is that the Lord is not going to bring up the past to you.
Never.
And that is happening with Satan. That is Satan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to quote that verse that the elder just said.
And that's why I believe this. I really believe, and this is what I tell people all the time when I'm talking to them or ministering to them about something, and they keep bringing up their past. I tell them all the time, you can't do nothing about it. You can't go back and change 1 second of your past. So you got to move on from it. And because it's not that you can't recall it, to learn from it, because we should learn from it, but we shouldn't stay in it.
Mm.
It's used as a learning ground.
Right, that's what I was going to say. That's where our growth comes in.
That's where our growth comes in. Mm-hmm.
That's where your growth comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I heard you put it this way.
If you don't overcome... those things, you're still at that same hurdle. You haven't moved. You have to move to go to the next level.
There you go.
You just stagnated there, worrying about that. That, you know, that's over. You got to move on to the next one, so you can be effective, minister for the Lord.
Yes.
And use that path that's hunting you as a positive to help someone. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. That's it right there. But so many people, they don't want people to know what their past has been, and so they keep it under, you know, they won't say anything about it because they're afraid of the shame of it. But my thing is, it happened, and it can be used to be a blessing to somebody else. I tell people all the time, it's a part of your success story. It's a part of your success, because it will be you. If you use what your life for what God's glory, God's going to bless you to testify to somebody else. I said, you might just be in a room and overhear somebody talking and be able to turn around and say, well, let me tell you how the Lord brought me out of it, because I was in that same thing. You'll be able to use it for that. And so it's for a platform for us to be able to use it for God's glory. But we have to learn from it, and we have to move on, because you can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you say or do will change it. It is gone. Just like this second the judgment passed, it's the past, and we can't do nothing
about it. It's the past.
That's it. Yeah. You're right, Elder Denise. When it becomes a success story,
mm-hmm.
is when you're able to testify about it.
Yeah.
Well,
you
know, you look at Paula White and, what is her name that was abused by the father?
Mm-hmm. Joyce Meyer.
Joyce Meyer. They use that, you know, as their platform. Look what God has done for me. They just didn't stay and feel sorry for themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When God, when they got saved, they let all that go. They was cleansed with the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And went on about their business.
Yes.
And God bless, because they were finally able to get over that hurdle and go to the next one to receive their destiny. You know, you got to move on. So,
but you know, another thing too, y'all. I think one of the worst things anybody can do is to try to hide their past failure, or to, like, you did something that somebody know.
Mm-hmm.
I can get anybody out there this advice. You did something that somebody know, and then you told them, don't tell nobody. That's not one of the worst things you can do.
Yes.
Right, because they're going to tell
them,
tell it.
It may be shameful, but let them know, do what you have to do. I'm forgiven. I'm ashamed of it, but I refuse to allow you to hold me hostage
right.
and in bondage all my life because you feel you know something about me. Number one, it's not a secret. You know it. If you know it, it's not a secret.
Right.
It's not a secret. You know it.
Right.
So, yeah, you cannot allow people to do that to you. Other than what
no.
Satan's going to do, because he's going to use them to hold you hostage. So,
yes.
I know something about her, I know something about him. I know his secret, her secret.
Mm-hmm.
Let him know, first of all, it's not a secret, because you know.
Right.
And number two, God knows.
Right.
I'm going
God
to repent.
Amen.
I'm going to repent from it. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. What you feel you have to do in spreading the news, go ahead.
Right.
Let him cast the first stone. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's one thing I always tell people. I tell them everybody got stuff.
Yes.
So don't let people put you in hostage about your stuff because they got stuff.
But you know what is important is that you really discern who you're going to talk to.
Yeah.
Because you need to talk to someone. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
you can talk to the wrong person, and it
right.
makes you, it puts you back in the situation worse than what you were because you're going
yes.
for help. But so you got to mm-hmm. be careful as a Christian who you're going to.
Yes.
You know, you need to know
true.
Who you're going to so you can have an effective outcome.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I call
that
mm-hmm. go ahead. I call that grace reception.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Where your testimony, God gives grace with it, so
yes.
they'll receive it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
if it don't have grace reception with it, they ain't,
mm-hmm.
they're not supposed to hear it.
Right. They're not supposed to hear it. They're not supposed to hear it.
That's important. That's really, really important.
Because mm-hmm. we have to be careful as believers that when we are shared something from someone's heart that we don't go, oh, this is juicy gossip, I just got to share it with Susie or I just got this one person. And that one person is going to think the same way you think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a circle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's going to come back to her. So you need to keep your mouth shut.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need just, you know, because it's going to affect that person.
Of course,
mm-hmm.
because really you're being dishonorable.
Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say about the tongue?
Right.
It's unruly.
Unruly member.
Unruly member.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rule that tongue. You want to do something that's going to be a positive thing for her, not a negative.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else?
It's deadly.
I think it is so critical, both of you, Elder, y'all using, giving some powerful information, and Mr. Henry, you know, what you shared is really, really powerful, too, because you want people to understand, well, this is for me, I'll say this, this is what I tell you, now, if you ain't free from whatever it is, you probably really want to keep, you know, I mean, don't get tricked by the enemy
mm-hmm.
because they start telling you something and if it's their struggle or something that they're dealing with that you
mm-hmm.
had experience with, you might want to just pump the brakes on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you don't get caught up into something that you're still struggling with.
Well, I understand that. I don't think you have to tell everything.
Okay.
You know
this
what I mean?
Is it.
You don't
mm-hmm.
have to tell everything. Some things you overcome yourself.
Right.
And some things that you might need a little help with.
Well,
exactly.
How do I know?
You'll know.
Because
I think God will let you know.
Okay. Yeah,
certain things
you
pray
know,
about and you have some question about it, and later on he just give you the free run. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If he don't give you the free run about it, don't do it.
Mm-mm.
Don't do
it.
You ain't got to tell everything.
That's a very important point you're making because some things are for God and some things are for people.
Yeah, that's right.
Some
exactly.
Nobody can help you on. So you're making a very important point. You don't tell people
right.
everything.
Right.
Nobody's
you don't
supposed
have...
to hear everything.
Mm-hmm.
Some things
no,
are for God, only He alone can handle.
Right.
And some things are for people. Because sometimes one of the things that even surprises me about us Christians, I heard people call me and say, can you believe such and so person did this or such and so thing happened? I said, yes, I can believe it. They're like, what? I said, yeah. I said, come on, why are you surprised? Why are you going to be surprised of that a human did something?
Right.
And you know, so you're making a very important point. We need to be very discerning about
yes.
telling people everything.
Right.
I look at it this way. The Bible says, let the strong bear the infirmity of the weak. And if you feel that something you're getting ready to reveal will be a weakness to that person, back up. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Because you're doing them more bad than you're doing them good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but the Lord will let you. He'll give you wisdom on that area.
Yes, He will.
He'll give that
yes,
to you.
Will.
You know, I hate for someone to tell me a secret that affects especially another saint, you know.
Yeah.
And they said, tell you. Well, this just happened to me. Don't tell nobody.
No.
Why did you tell me? Put that on me. Why did you tell me?
Right. Exactly.
I didn't want to hear that, really, because... You'll see those people, right, and they have planted
mm-hmm.
that seed in your mind, right. So I prefer them not to tell me anything like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because I'm like
because you know
people.
What,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, you know, in your earlier years, you had to learn, keep your mouth shut, right?
Exactly.
Learn by, you know. But as you grow older in God, you know how important it is to watch that tongue. You can
mm-hmm.
destroy someone.
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to me, I just stop right there. You're not going no further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in
yeah.
the name of Jesus.
Don't put me in bondage.
Don't put you in it. And the gospel, it'd be so juicy. You know what I'm saying? Please.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I said, no, no. So.
You'd be singing that song, Want to Tell Somebody.
I said, but I don't want that on me. Because you reap what you sow. You tell somebody else's business, somebody going to surely tell yours, and it might be worse.
Yeah.
So, because I believe in this line where that's like planting a garden. You know,
yeah.
what kind of garden are you planting?
Yeah.
I want to reap the benefits. I want a good garden. I don't want a lot
right.
of thorns to come up. So you just got to be careful. For every little thing, you got to be careful.
That's right. I ought to write that down because I might have to use that.
So true.
Oh, Lord.
Well, one thing, I do know that, you know, when people talk to you about things that are detrimental, as far as, you know, they're telling, you know, because they tell us, as ministers of the gospel, you have to know when you have to tell things. Because some things you do have to say about, especially when it comes to people that are talking about taking their life or talking
well,
about
taking
their
life. Well, that's a different, yeah, that's right. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. That's something that is the line for Debbie, I would agree with that.
They have to speak out when it comes to that. Whether
yeah,
they tell not to tell or not, I got to tell that. I'm obligated.
Yeah,
I tell them,
yeah.
I'm obligated to talk about that. So if you don't want me to talk about it, don't tell.
I remember that years ago was a lady that was in a car accident, and she called me. I have to be home. And then she said, don't you tell nobody. Just come on. So I went on, and she was in a bad car wreck, but God saved her. I mean, He saved her. And anyway, so I picked her up, took her home. Her car was totally destroyed. I never told a soul.
Mm.
She called me 3 days later, why you didn't tell somebody?
Oh.
I said, you told me not to. You were okay.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And what will not to cut you off, but to connect it for somebody who's thinking we're off topic. We're not off topic because
No, not at all.
It says, what is justification? Justification is a legal act originating in the loving will of God. So when you're sharing, is it justified? Is it legal? And is it the will of God?
There you go.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yes, yes.
And really, when you think about it, a psychiatrist has a personal confidentiality with this patient.
Right.
And us being elders of the gospel.
Right.
Where does the Bible say you come when you got a problem? Call for the elders.
The elders. Right. All the elders.
We are under a mandate from God to
But when they call us, we don't go and call the little chickens. You know what I mean?
No.
Just like them, they have to. No, that information cannot be revealed unless it's through court or whatever.
That's
the way it is. And that's the way we should be, too.
It's confidential.
Right.
Yeah.
It's confidential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we got here on the note, it says, like we were talking about justification, and we said that, you know, justification also comes from that word just.
Yes.
And just is, you know, we say just, God is just.
He's just.
Holy, he's pure, he's righteous, and he's peace. Like God, a true follower of his is also righteous, holy, pure, in his or her deeds. So if people calling you to tell you certain things, other than saying they would kill themselves, that is confidential.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell God your stuff, he doesn't go publicize it. So you can't afford to do that to another person.
But, you know, that's true. But, you know, I think a good thing, too, also is that you begin to intercede for that person that they're speaking about because they need help, you know.
Automatically.
And you just begin to pray and intercede and let God intervene in that area.
Yeah.
That's the best thing to do, you know.
Yes.
In that situation. Because you don't want to ruin anybody's reputation. They trying to make it, and like you say, it's just...
There was a pastor who said that, you know, normally people would call him, and they would begin to talk about other people. In reality, they're gossiping.
Mm-hmm.
He said, normally when they come to him, he said, oh, come on, let's pray for that person right now. Let's hold
that's
him.
A good, you know,
there you go.
And he said, right away, it comes out the gospel.
You know what? That's great. And that's what I was just thinking. Before you get into that, say, well, let's just pray for them right now.
Let's pray for them right now.
And that way you're going to cut that off.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to feel guilty for telling you that.
Conversation's going to change.
It's going to change.
It's going to change.
Because I really don't want to know it.
No.
You know, I don't want to know. I don't want to feel anything toward anybody. I don't want that because we all go through. And we all have sin.
Yeah.
And we're all trying to make it, you know, try to be strong. So I wouldn't want to pull anybody down.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It's just a part of their life. God has to come in and help them.
Well, as usual, we are counting down the time.
Well,
we had some
God.
Wonderful conversation, and I think next week we're going to begin to talk about sanctification. And Elder Russell and Elder Timberlake are going to be teaching on that topic. And they'll let me know. I think we'll take about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks on that as well. And just really dive into sanctification and what that means to us as believers and how the Lord sanctified us and set us apart. And we'll be talking about that. But I really thank our elders on the line that brought out justification and talked about it so eloquently. and really blessed us with teaching us on that top, on this particular topic. And it's probably so much more that we did not cover, but I think we did kind of cover the most of that. So I hope whoever hears this broadcast and needs it, I always pray that the Lord will bless those that need it to find it, so to be able to hear it, and that they will be blessed by it. And we just want to always offer, you know, if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of their sins, that they, if they want to give their life to Christ today, then we will we can say a prayer and pray with you. And then we hope that you will find you a good Bible-believing teaching church so that you can continue to grow and continue to let the word be planted in you and watered in you, that God will give the increase. And I'm going to ask Elder Russell if she will just pray the prayer of salvation today, so that if there's anybody out there that need, that wants to be saved, they can pray along with her in that regard. And then I'm going to ask Elder Poston if he will pray, close us out with prayer.
As we come right now in the name of Jesus, precious God, we're asking those that are not saved, do not know the Lord, we're asking them today that they would turn from their wicked ways and begin to trust God. Ask him to forgive them of their sin and believe that he died on the cross for them and was raised from the dead. And he's ascended back to heaven awaiting us. And anyone out there that would like to know the Lord, his arms are awaiting you. He loves you. He's a forgiver of sin. He'll never turn his back on you. He's open 24 hours a day to hear your requests. So we're asking you today, if you don't know the Lord, we're asking you to accept him as your Savior today. Accept him as your Savior today. There's no other better thing that you can do in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Elder Poston?
Father God, we bless you, we praise you, we magnify you, O Lord God. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for justification, O Lord God. Father God, we ask, O Lord, if anybody has heard the word, O Lord God, that it would be seeded into good ground, O Lord God, and that at the end of the day that you would be glorified from it, O Lord God. Increase our hunger. Increase our spirit of wisdom and understanding, Lord God. Give us what we need to take what we've learned and apply it to our lives, that we may represent you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for justification. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. We thank them for those prayers, the prayer of salvation, and then the prayer over us. And I'd just like to thank everyone that participated today and all of your wisdom that God allowed you to share with each and every one. And so we thank God for each and every one of you. Of course, I always plead the blood of Jesus over your lives, because we know that the enemy will try to come and sift you as wheat, but we know that God has a better plan for you, and that we know that he stabilized you in him, and that he is your protection. He'll be a hedge of fire, a wall of fire all around about you, and that he will let his angels encamp around about you and keep you safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. We pray that you have a blessed week, and that the Lord will continue to bless and strengthen you on your journeys. And we thank you, Lord. We'll see you here next week. We're going to be talking about sanctification. Anyway, thank you.
And
goodbye. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.
God bless you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.